This is the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee for July 5th, 2022. Our first item of business is consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency meeting in purpose in person would present imminent risk to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code. Are there any objections to us holding this meeting as a Zoom meeting?
I concur. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. Hearing no objections, we will move on to the next item on the agenda, comments from the public. Amelia, are there any hands raised?
No hands raised, no chats.
Okay. So we will move
on. Here in my office this morning.
Okay. We will move on to the monthly update, Michael.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everybody. And I hope everyone had a nice 4th of July and welcome to the new fiscal year. For our SB 170 projects, there's currently no update with the water treatment sodium hypochlorite conversion. They're still working on preliminary design or design. Recycled water disinfection project. I know this is an agenda item, so I might as well just talk about it now. I received only one proposal, and that proposal was with West Yost and Associates. And so I'm thinking about flying the RFP again so we can get some more, a little more competition. I'm in discussions with Tom about that, and I think that's really the way to go. I have spoke to a couple of engineering firms that did not submit, and they tentatively mentioned that if we refly the RFP that they would consider submitting. So I'd like to get a little bit more competition. Moving on to our ground lease project, we've got a meeting in this office on July 6th at 9:30 to meet with HDR and review what they have started for improvements on the ground lease intake to make sure that we're all on the same page before they go too far in their study. So Marty, if you or Randy are interested, that's the 6th here in the office at 9:30.
Okay.
I think everybody—
Marty, are you available? I am not.
I believe so. Oh, I got to check, but I believe so.
Okay. I think it'd be a good one for one of you to sit in. That'd be great, if possible.
Hey, Michael, on the recycled water disinfection project, the proposal that we did get, what was the magnitude of their proposal?
Well, you know, that's something I don't feel comfortable discussing in a public meeting.
Yeah, you're right. You're
but
right.
But I will tell you that it was higher than I expected.
Yeah. And okay, that's kind of all I really needed to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And it's not just price. You know, I also want to see some more proposals if possible, you know. So, all right. Moving on to our sewer system, our lift station 6A, update on that is we currently operating with the temporary installed emergency pump. We have ordered the three-phase replacement pumps and the VFD replacement. And once we get those in, we will schedule that installation and that lift station will be much more dependable at that point. For our main lift, south lift station, we repaired a faulty regulator and battery pack for the main lift south generator. It's been replaced and is now fully functional. Our recycled water facility, tertiary facility is in operation, delivering about 1.25 MGD to the country club. We have been running into an additional chlorine demand, one part from the warmer weather. Part of the reason why the temperature is higher in the water is we're not getting the mixing in the supply basin that we normally get, because of some missing aerator parts. Our aerator is not working correctly, so we're working on getting that replacement so we can stop going through so much chlorine. a Rio Oso replacement update on the water side. We had Joe Domenichelli, myself, Marty, and Tom, and Travis, we all went out there last week to take a look at the replacement pumps. And I think we came to the conclusion that the best way to move forward based on our ability to isolate the system is to replace the worst pump, get redundancy, and then that buys us some time to determine the best long-term strategy for the configuration of Rio Oso. We have bulk replacement pumps, and these replacement pumps are kind of like fire flow pumps. They're well sized for during the day, but in the middle of the night, they're overkill. And I haven't seen the data yet, but I'm assuming that there's a lot of starting and stopping because we no longer have the expansion tank that we're pumping into. That was removed several years ago. And so now we're running the pumps directly into the system via VFDs. So there's some, I would like to do a study on, you know, potentially putting a jockey pump in, a smaller pump to operate during the wee hours, and how that would work and what the configuration would be, so that we can save a little energy, but also have a little less stress on the pumps in the system and have a good long-term project. So the first step is to let's get the redundancy back. Let's replace one of the pumps so that we know that the pump station is more dependable, and then go from there. On to the water treatment facility. Both facility 1 and 2 are in operation and producing potable water at a rate of 2.75 MGD. The previously rebuilt back pulse pump is being installed, and it should have been installed by now. Let me check on that. The second back pulse pump will be rebuilt and installed next winter when the water demand is reduced. And we are encountering some initial dissolved manganese in some smaller initial concentrations. We're closely monitoring the color and the manganese concentrations, and staff will react as needed with potassium permanganate and chlorine to precipitate the manganese. So that's, we're keeping an eye on that. We know that sometimes we have problems with manganese, and we know what to do. Water conservation. I know this is another agenda item. There's really not a whole lot to talk about other than that affects us directly. I know we are closely monitoring what's going on with the state water restrictions, but those restrictions are primarily for urban water suppliers. You know, someday soon we will be an urban water supplier, but until then, a majority of the ban does not affect us. Although we have included a voluntary request, as discussed with the board, to reduce consumption by 20%, should people want to join in on that. And we put that request on the latest round of bills. And I think those bills are going to go out for July. I think they'll be in the July bills, if I'm not mistaken. We have also, the one ban that does somewhat affect us is the ban on watering non-functional turf with potable water. And there's a few small sections where that occurs with the RMA. And per the state regulations, our duty is to inform our users of that ban. And we have completed our duty by notifying RMA that the state is currently enacting a ban on potable water. And I don't know if they have ceased watering non-functional turf or not, but they have been notified, and we've done our due diligence by notifying them.
Michael, what is being required of urban water suppliers right now?
I believe it's a 20% reduction, and going to stage 2. that's the big one, going to stage two. There's a lot of the myriad of restrictions that go along with the state two, stage two water restrictions. So, you know, that might be us in a couple of years. So it's, we're like I said, we're monitoring what's happening with the development. And it's, I think what happened was the governor had asked for some voluntary restrictions and nobody did anything. So they came down, you know, I would say somewhat harshly on all the urban water suppliers. For this Calero, the new Calero state storage curve, I'll be giving that out to the improvement committee members. It might be in my email this morning. I haven't seen it. I got the initial draft and we saw a fairly large difference, or it's fairly large reduction in storage capacity than our initial curve that we've had for the longest time. And, you know, we thought that part of it may have been the using a different datum, but I believe that the initial curve was drawn and utilized before there was like a little fat finger that was added to the lake that actually took. It's where there's supposed to be some kind of a nice little tree grove. Does this sound familiar? It was kind of added to the southern portion of the lake.
Yeah, if for those who know Calero, there's an outhouse and sort of a park that people can go in right before they get to the dam. If you go to Calero and turn left a little bit to the, on the right, you have a little peninsula that you can go out and hang out on. And that's also where the boat ramp is per se. And what, from Michael's research, when Calero was originally designed, that peninsula was not included. So there may have been, if it had been cut out like the original design, there maybe have been more water storage available. But between the time the design was made and the reservoir modifications were completed, that peninsula was left there. And yeah, so we're thinking that's why there's less water in Calero than we've always thought.
Yeah, I believe the stage scourge curve was conducted from not that peninsula being built. So I think that's that kind of makes sense that there would be a small difference. I off the top, I haven't seen the new curve, but it's about 400 acre feet difference of storage. Less than we have originally considered. So
400 out of a total of.
I don't have that number on me. It's like a 2,000 or 3,000. I can pull that up.
Is it 6,000 acre feet?
I don't think it's that much. Check.
It's like a Monday morning. All those numbers aren't built into our brain just yet.
Yeah, that one hasn't stuck yet. I'll pull that up and as I continue, and then get you guys that number. Oh, here it is. Let's see. About 2,600 acre feet. That's spillway.
100. So
a fifth or
10% is 260. My lightning quick mind tells me we have about 20% less water in that reservoir than what we thought.
That's probably pretty close.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a number, but you know, it's good to know, I think.
Well, it's another good reason to update our water study, because if we have water than what we thought, it's more important to know. To know the overall water situation.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good effort. I'm glad we did this, and this will be important information for us. So I'll get you guys a copy when the final is complete, and there's a little write up about how it was done and the assumptions made, and so on and so forth.
And we got one for each lake.
No, we just did the Calero. If the committee would like, I can. get an estimate to do Chesbro and Clementia if needed. I mean, Calera was the most crucial one. Chesbro, you know, it has some capacity, but it's more of like a utilized more like a storage tank. Chesbro's got about 1,100 acre feet at spillway, and Clementia holds about 900.
Oh, I see your point. Yeah,
I mean, I'd be happy to if we want to just nail everything at once. We can get some quotes on that if the committee is interested.
I'd at least like to see the quote to see how much we'd have to spend to figure it out. I think eventually, if we're gonna redo the water study, we're gonna have to do that to double check and make sure that we've got what we think we have in those lakes also.
Got it. Well, I'll get that to the committee.
You know, Michael, when you do your research on why that peninsula was left in, I recall hearing something about some artifacts being found when they were doing the excavation for expanding Calero.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's what happened. Maybe they ran into some artifacts there at the peninsula and had to work around it after the plan had been placed.
Yeah, I would assume either artifacts or more rock than they didn't want to blast through. One of the two.
Interesting. Maybe somebody remembers that. That's probably a Dick Brandt question.
Yeah. But the curve, when you look at the curve and the stage storage that we've been using, it's based on that being gone.
Before my time.
Yeah. On a development, let's see, Riverview, Lot A has been cleared and grubbed. Developer is currently performing compaction for the roadway and culvert crossing. Temporary 10-inch water supply to the RMA spray park is to be abandoned in place and sealed. It was verbally agreed that the developer will be extending sewer and water infrastructure to the country club bathroom on Carson Drive during the next phase of construction. So that'll probably be like a next year type of thing. And we haven't seen any evidence of the leach field being compromised to the point where it's daylighting. So I feel comfortable with, you know, not pumping out the tank now that we know.
What is Lot A?
Lot A, I think that is the next phase in development. I think it's just, I think it might be north on the site. And let's see, retreats. All sewer mains and service laterals are installed and awaiting backfill. We had a meeting with Kahav and Tykert and their geotech because there was some difference in opinion on what constituted 6-inch minus. They weren't using a full quote unquote classifier. So it was just they were just using a bar. And so they were getting things that were on end way over 6 inches. And we came to a conclusion where they're going to be welding bars on their classifier to get more of a true 6-inch minus. So that was, I guess that was a conversation that had to happen, and it did happen. And it was resolved to our both Joe and my satisfaction.
Are they done blasting?
Well, I think there might be some more blasting coming up for some of the storm drain.
They're not putting 6-inch minus directly on the pipe, are they?
No, it gets like a 3/4 cover.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, we would. That'd be like you need to dig that up. So the other thing that was established was there was some discussion that, or maybe accusation that district personnel are telling them how to do their job and directing their work. And I reframed that, and we're providing them information when something might not be accepted if they continue. and allowing them to make the decision on moving forward. The lines of communication were reestablished and who's supposed to talk to who. And I feel that that was resolved at this time. Let's see, Taco Bell's been open. No real update on the Circle K shell. Myriad Gardens Lock 2, the Tractor Supply letter of approval has been signed and delivered, and we have the initial improvement plan. So I'm not exactly sure when they're going to start on that. So that concludes my report, if there's any questions.
Any questions for Michael?
No, hands raised, no questions.
Okay.
What time was that meeting with HDR?
Oh, that's at 9:30.
Okay.
9:30 on the 6th, which is tomorrow.
Okay,
let's move on. Do we need to talk about voluntary water restrictions?
No.
Anymore? I don't have anything else on it. Marty, anything on that?
No.
So let's move on to the report on recycled water discharge at Lake 11.
Okay, so as you all know, we had classified as a minor spill of recycled water, which made its way into the Consumers River. Of course, the first order of business was to stop the flow. This was managed by sandbags and a small pump powered by a generator, which we still have out there. We're in the process of completing the report to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, outlining both the incident and the direction that we're going to supply for permanent correction. So last week I met with our engineer. We went out, took a look, and there is an intermediate plan to place a plug, which we have purchased the plug and we're waiting for that plug to be delivered. In order to get the plug into the pipe, we're having to jackhammer the top of the manhole to get an opening large enough where we can fit the inflatable plug in. We're going to wrap that plug with, it's some kind of a 8 mil plastic or something to kind of protect the plug. And then once we get that plug in, then we can pull our sandbags out. And the Lake 11 is currently being operated at a lower level to reduce the seepage into the hole of the pipe. And we've been in contact with the country club and there's been an agreement to run the lake at a certain level such that it's not putting additional stress on the leak. And that has been okay. Once we get the plug in, then they can run Lake 11 at a higher level, which I believe Art needs to do that to get all the water that he needs. So that's the next step, is that intermediate step of installing the plug, getting a good seal. And then we're continuing to move forward. We discussed the initial direction of the design to fix the problem permanently. And the plan is to disconnect the overflow from the storm drain manhole. And that's an important step because, you know, once you put one drop of recycled water in Lake 11, it's all recycled water for the rest, you know, for the rest of time, basically. So the prudent thing is to disconnect that overflow from the manhole. And I believe they would do that by, some kind of a poured form or blocks sealed for that pipe, because that's a pretty good sized pipe. I think it's like a 50 inch. I mean, it's pretty decent sized pipe. And then on the other end where the leak is coming in from the outside, we would take short pipe sections, lower those into the old pipe, and then grout around, fill the holes with grout. So be basically like a really clunky slip line, job around the damaged area and then seal that off. That I've looked at that plan. We've talked about it. And to me, it looks like the best way forward. So currently we have a little over $500,000 in the drainage reserve fund. So I couldn't imagine, you know, this repair being over $150,000, but we don't have an estimate yet because the design's not done yet. I haven't received an engineer's estimate from Joe. So I'm hoping it's less than that, but it doesn't.
How much did the plug cost?
The plug, I don't have that in front of me. I think it's around $4,000 or $5,000, I think, for the plug. And we'll be able to utilize this plug. It's a 24 to 60 inch plug. So there's a lot of opportunities to use this plug again and again, which is nice.
Yeah.
It buys us the time, basically. And the thought is, we'd like to do the project at the end of the irrigation period where we can get the lake lowered a little bit to make the construction easier, to reduce the cost of construction.
Sure.
Well, I want to jump in. We have been researching when that equipment was conveyed to the district to make sure that it's the district's responsibility for this repair versus the country club, because that's where the storm drain resides. I'm pretty sure we're going to find out that it's the district's responsibility, but I just want to be crystal clear and confirm that before the end of this project.
Oh, yeah.
You got that pipe coming down from that drainage basin that this, I guess, drains all of that housing up there. I can't imagine it. It's not part of our system.
I agree.
Martin, are you following this? I'm not really seeing what we're doing here, but I'm sure you've got questions.
Yeah, I think I understand. I understand you're disconnecting the overflow, and it kind of makes sense to me. There's, if it's a flood situation, that overflow is not doing much for us, right? Because it can't really go back to the river, so.
Well, but isn't that exactly what we've been doing at some point? I remember a few years ago when all there was that showing up there was the number 10 tee box and everything else was underwater. That because it didn't drain over the levee, it must have gone out through that outflow. I don't know where else the water would have gone to.
Most likely, and that's, I can almost guarantee you the state's going to want us to separate that.
But when there's that much water in it, once the drainage water hits the recycled water, it's all recycled water, but the initial design of that had to just be, well, it's, there's so much for that system to start into use that it's essentially all flood water.
Well, you know, that system was either designed pre-recycled water use, or the regulations weren't what they are today, or so, the state didn't know.
So I get it. But then there's another system that comes down from that drainage that goes around. And so that's essentially what that 36 inch out to the river is going to carry then.
Yeah. Draining the residual, the urban runoff.
I got to go back in my files and look at the pictures I took of the water level when that happened a few years ago. If that water doesn't go out the outflow, where does it go? How do we get rid of that?
Well, it's
water.
Basically, it becomes, we don't have a recycled water spill until we have a higher level storm. So separating this, you know, keeps us not spilling recycled water until there's a really big storm. It's an imperfect system. And I don't know at what level the state's going to address that. So it's kind of a tricky situation because we have kind of a gotcha designed into the system, like yeah. You had just spoke of.
So should we get an answer from them instead of just kind of?
Oh, I'm sure they're going to come out. You know, I would like to invite the state to come out, take a look at everything and just, you know, just kind of put everything on the table and say, hey, this is what's going on. You know, we could use some direction.
Yeah, no, I that's where I was going with it. I don't think we just kind of mess around with this ourselves. We need to get something in writing from the state saying,
you
can do this or you can't do that, and then we'll just have to design something accordingly.
Right, and you know, and as we find these little gotchas that are designed in the system, like there was another one that we found. There was a valve that we dug up and blind flanged off that would have let recycled water into Laguna Joaquin potentially if someone had opened it. So as we find these things, we correct them. And this will be a big one. This is kind of a multi-layered issue. So
well, yeah. If there's a big flood, there's a lot of water there, and it tries to recede, won't it try to go through the manhole?
It's gonna yeah. Go. Well, I think we're gonna make it sealable, it would be my thought.
Okay.
Or not, depending upon what the state does here.
Right, right. I think this I'm pretty, you know, having worked with the state, you know. If there's something that has the potential to do recycled water or definitely get recycled water in, they'll choose the safer route for us. Definitely.
Yeah. They do need to see the pictures of that area flooded.
Yeah.
Understand the problem that we would have if that happens again with no way to drain it. I mean, But I totally agree with what you said. Let's put all our cards out on the table and get the answer. It might not be what we want to hear, but let's at least find out what the state has to say.
Right, because when you put all your cards out on the table, you're playing with the full deck.
Huh? Really? There's maybe that's why I can't win at poker. Amelia, any hands or chats on this topic?
I don't have any.
Okay. Marty, you happy with?
Yeah, that's, I think.
All right, let's move on to status of RFP for disinfection improvements at the wastewater facility.
Yeah, we had that discussion in the update. So I'd like to extend the RFP or put out a new RFP.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's not unusual right now for people just not to be interested in more work because in construction in general right now on the public works side, there's more work than there are people to do the work. So, you know, if we could just get one more interested in it to make sure that we're not being taken advantage of, I think we'd probably be doing good on that.
Yeah. And I didn't, you know, when I looked at the breakdown of the cost, it didn't feel like they're taking advantage of us. They it just like, well, I looked at their billing rates and like, yeah, that's a reasonable amount of time to do X. It's just, there's, I think there's more design than you would think because of the, probably because of the structural design of the tank, you know, the contact tank, there's probably some structural design in there, but yeah. And there's a lot of unknowns because we have to deal with Tesco for our controls. And so, you know, they might just be putting additional funds in there so they don't have to go ask for money. There is one engineering firm that wanted to do a proposal, but they didn't have enough time to get out here and take a look around, and they didn't want to put a proposal without having at least looked at the site. So I think we'll get at least one more if we put it out, if not two.
Okay, good.
I mean, sometimes people forget that it costs money for an engineering firm to write a proposal. You know, that it could cost $15,000-$20,000 maybe for that firm, depending on the level of proposal. And so we try to, you know, be respectful with their time. And
sure. I get it. I totally get that.
I imagine you do.
What I do. Okay, so we are on to director and staff comments. First, staff, anything?
I've got nothing.
Nothing? Michael, nothing?
No.
Marty, anything?
Nope, I'm good, thank you.
And I'm good also. So that moves us to item 9 on the agenda, which is adjournment. Thanks, everyone, for attending this morning, and have a great day.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Have a great day.